You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Break the glass. Brett Aarons of MarketWatch Return on Investment joins. I've missed Brett, but we've had a 9% rally in the equities market through the summer months. Everything was rosy. And then, break the glass. Welcome, Brett. The breaking glass this time begins with the bond market. As I understand it right now, the bond market is unhappy. They find reasons to be unhappy. Everything's bad no matter what's good. Everything's good no matter what's bad. And right now we're in that bad, bad, bad stage. What are they watching for? What are they looking for? How did we get here all of a sudden? Good evening to you, Brett.
Good evening. And as usual, when I come on your program, John, I have to apologize to your listeners, because whenever I'm on, it means that they've lost money on something. At the moment, it's the bond market. You and I have talked a lot when the stock market has fallen out of bed. But at the moment, it's the bond market. And the bond market really has been has not recovered from the boom it enjoyed last decade, when we had 0% interest rates and bonds were up and the yields were very, very low. Interest rates were low, and your bonds look great. And then they were basically overpriced. We were in a bond bubble, and they've come crashing down. The central issue, actually, is simply that the governments of the world's richest countries are unable to balance their books, or pretend to balance their books, or even to pretend to manage their finances in a way that looks remotely sustainable. I was looking, if you look at any of the major, many of the rich, major rich countries, particularly Britain, France, and above all America, we went through a huge national debt splurge around the time of the global financial crisis. And that didn't lead to national bankruptcy or runaway inflation. So people thought, oh, well, you could just borrow ad nauseam. So we had an even bigger national splurge in the run-up to and during COVID. In the U.S., we passed Trump passed the 2017 very deep tax cuts. And then in 2020, 2021, the federal government spent a ton of money. It was all put on the national credit card. And the result is that, for example, in the U.S., our national debt, which was around $5 trillion in 2005, is now around $30 trillion. It's essentially, we have these enormous deficits. There are no plans to bring them under control, and everyone has basically been kicking the can down the road. Now, what happened over the weekend is that when the courts ruled that President Trump's tariffs might be illegal, the one substantial set of revenues that was coming in, basically tariffs, of course, of taxes, was suddenly cast into doubt. And that caused another bond market panic. But ultimately, what is happening is that the world's richest countries, the governments, are borrowing gigantic amounts of money. And I think the assumption has been that because they've been able to go on for as long as they have without drawing any kind of line under the projections of future deficits, that they could go on indefinitely. It sort of reminds me of the old joke about the guy who jumps off the Empire State Building, and when he passes the 20th, he passes the 80th floor and the 60th floor and the 40th floor. And when he passes the 20th floor, he spots somebody leaning out the window. He says, "Well, so far, so good. You can go on so far, but at some point there's a reckoning." And I think a lot of people, the bond market has suddenly woken up, and suddenly there is a sense that we're at some kind of reckoning. And I know that there's been talk about France having to go to the International Monetary Fund for a bailout. It's unlikely, but it gives you it's unlikely they'll do that, but it gives you an idea of the pickle they're in. There's been talk again about the UK having to go to the International Monetary Fund. That's even less likely, but it does bring back memories because Britain actually did do that in 1976. So in both cases, the governments are facing, fiscal constraints. And by far the biggest issue, of course, is the United States, because our economy is vastly bigger. Our debts are vastly bigger. Up until now, there has been an assumption that America essentially can borrow almost indefinitely, because to a large extent, America borrows the money internally. Can a country, as it were, go bankrupt to itself? But there comes a point where even the bond market starts to say, well, even if we want to lend you more money, we're going to demand a higher rate of interest. And that essentially has been a battle that's been going on since really the start of the year. Before Donald Trump took office, before the inauguration, there was quite a bit of turmoil in the bond market. Interest rates went up because there were quite a few investors who were saying, well, we don't know what this guy's plans are in terms of, if not balancing the books, at least bringing them into some kind of sustainable path. Had Kamala Harris won, she was going to allow most of the 2017 tax cuts to expire, which would have raised revenues. Regardless of what your politics are, this is just a question of maths. As Donald Trump, and the One Big Beautiful Bill pushed through, that meant, of course, taxes weren't going to go up. So that raised questions even before President Trump was inaugurated. It raised questions about what is the path, what is the fiscal path to sustainability. The tariffs have, to some extent, cushioned the costs of the tax cuts. Not enormously, but they have been raising substantial revenues. I think the most recent data in July was about 25. I can't remember the figures now. I think it was $25 billion. But it was essentially, there was substantial revenues were starting to come in from the tariffs. And now those have been pulled into question. I mean, I have to say, President Trump and others were talking about, tariff rebates. And I actually wrote about this. I was like, well, how are we going to use this money to pay for federal spending if we're also rebating, sending the money out to people in checks? However, if the tariffs are held to be illegal, if they're not upheld, then that raises a future revenue issue that the government is going to have to deal with sooner or later. Either the government is going to set its house in order, or the bond market is going to set the government's house in order for it.
And there is the break the glass. You just designed most of a bearish read. I want to add one more. As I understand it, the French government's about to fall because the prime minister is promoted cutting and the legislature refuses. I even think they'd refuse reducing the number of national holidays. They just will not do it.
Yep. Yep.
In London, the government can't fall. Starmer has 165 majority, but it can be laughed out of town, and that might be underway. And here, we don't have that system. The government can't fall, but the bond market is clearly unhappy. You've named some of the things they're unhappy about. That tariff money might have to be given back if it's ruled illegal. At the same time, we have a Congress that cannot cut spending, apparently, and doesn't want to, doesn't try. Then we have one more twist, jobs. The Federal Reserve has indicated through various voices, Waller's for one of them, that if there's a weak jobs number this week, then therefore the Federal Reserve will move to bolster the economy with a cut, maybe even a half a point cut. All right, I'm not entertaining it. It's not out of the possibilities. They're talking about it. And we know the melodrama at the Fed includes the White House unhappy with Mr. Powell and the Lisa Cook imbroglio. It goes on.
Yes.
However, they can't cut rates, if I understand correctly, but that's going to be the pressure they're under if that jobs number is weak. And there's indication today it will be weak. All right, just right. Not as strong as it has been. Doesn't that mean that the bond market is going to sell off? Aren't we looking at, we're saying break the glass today, but the real break the glass is ahead of us. And are they anticipating? Is that why the bonds are selling?
Partially. If I can do one service here, it is to clarify a point that I keep making, and I sometimes feel like I'm shouting into a hurricane, because it is that there are two separate interest rates that people need to focus on, and everybody, including Donald Trump, seems to confuse them. The Federal Reserve sets the short-term interest rate, the overnight rate. There's actually two of them, Fed funds, and I've actually forgotten the other one, discount rate. But essentially, it sets the overnight, very short-term rate. It at most, it affects, it directly affects like the interest on three-month Treasury bills. There is a second interest rate that is much more important for the economy, which is the 10-year rate on government bonds. That is the interest rate you will get if you buy a 10-year Treasury bond. So you buy a Treasury bond tomorrow in the market, and that is a bond that will pay you an interest rate between now and 2035. And that interest rate is set on a day-to-day basis by the bond market. It is not set by the Federal Reserve. A year ago, you may, I think we talked about it here. A year ago, when Joe Biden was still president and Kamala Harris was running for president, a number of liberals in Congress, including Elizabeth Warren, pressured the Federal Reserve to cut short-term rates because they thought it would help Kamala Harris.
A half a point.
And they cut by half a point. What happened is, because the Fed cut short-term rates by half a point, the bond market panicked about the America's political discipline to constrain inflation. And what happened is that the 10-year interest rate set by the bond market went up, not down. In fact, it's very interesting. If you look at a chart, Kamala Harris's fortunes peaked in the middle of September last year. She was well ahead in the polls. She'd had a very successful debate, or Trump had a very bad debate, and interest rates were looking great. And then the Fed cut short-term rates. The long-term 10-year Treasury interest rate went up because the bond market panicked. That drove up the interest rate on mortgages, which is connected to the 10-year Treasury rate. It is not connected to the short-term rate. And so essentially that, you know, kicked the housing market in the shins, and that did not help. Now, I don't think in the end that was what decided the election. However, it is very interesting. People were focused on the wrong interest rate, and President Trump keeps ranting about, you know, too late, Powell is not cutting short-term rates. Donald Trump needs longer-term rates to come down. The short-term rates are less important to him. He needs those longer-term rates to come down, the 5-year, the 7-year, the 10-year. And if he pressures the Fed into cutting short-term rates too much, too soon, those long-term rates will go up, not down. They will go in the opposite direction to the one Donald Trump wants. They will hurt the economy. Mortgage rates will go up. The housing market will suffer, and it will be bad for the economy. And I will add that Donald Trump's – one thing I didn't mention before when we were talking about governments borrowing money, Donald Trump, I hesitate to say he's his own worst enemy, because I'm reminded of a famous joke one politician in Britain once said. He said about a colleague, Joe's his own worst enemy, and his colleague replied, not while I'm alive. So I hate to say that Donald Trump is his own worst enemy, but he is his own enemy, because his attacks upon the independence of the Fed and his attack upon the independence of the Bureau of Labor Statistics, stuff he has done in the last, was it 1 month,
right,
have not helped him at all. They have hurt him.
All right.
They make bondholders nervous. If you want to lend money to the federal government for 30 years, you want to have confidence that the money you get, that you lend out, is going to get repaid, and it's going to be repaid in dollars that you can actually use to buy something, rather than, you know, some, you know, Weimar Republic nonsense.
Brett, so I want us to come back. We'll have a few minutes to say what must be done, what can be done, because right now we're defining why it's going wobbly. What needs to be done?
So essentially,
Hold on, Brett. We'll come back.
Yes.
Brett Aarons,
all right.
Market Watch, Return on Investment, Break the Glass Aarons. I'm John Bash.
Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.